Between Two Wings. I'm your host, Emily Norman. And today we have Chelsea Smith with us. She is an AMP and an instrument rated pilot working on her commercial license. And honestly, I'm so excited to talk to you because not only do you represent aviation or women in aviation on the pilot's perspective, but also on the maintenance side. So I'm sure that crossover number is not too big. So really an honor to sit down and talk with you today.
Hi, yeah, I'm so excited to be here. As soon as you reached out and asked me to be on this podcast after seeing all of the incredible people that you've interviewed in the past, I was absolutely flattered, and just to talk to you in general and everything that you've accomplished as well. So I'm really excited to be here. Thanks again for the invite. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you so much for the feedback on Between Two Wings. Always love here that is doing well. And, you know, back to your point, you know, I briefly met you at Osh, maybe for a few minutes. Oshkosh is so busy and crazy, you know, always getting yanked left and right. But it is really good just to sit down and chat with you, especially as we're a little bit of the minority in this, you know, industry that we both love. And there's just so many things that I think we can bring to light. And you can also teach a lot of us pilots as we continue this conversation. But we like to start off each episode just kind of explaining where our backgrounds are. I've got my Piper Warrior behind me. This is actually from annual last year. And I will admit that I am the pilot that, you know, shows up, hey, mechanic, here's the plane, wait for my dad to pick me up, you know, go back and then wait to get that text and call that it's ready. Kind of same situation, pick it up, fly it home, not a lot of interaction. But, you know, after talking with you a little bit before this interview, following you on social media, I realized that there's, you know, a big missed opportunity there for me to learn more about my aircraft and just become a safer pilot in general. So that's kind of my background in a nutshell there.
So as soon as you started talking about that, all that was going through my head was the way that I always encourage owners, when you check your airplane in on annual, if you have the opportunity, asking the mechanic if you can do a partial or even a full owner assist annual. I think that that absolutely changes the perspective and the way that you look at your aircraft. And, you know, there's so much that's happening 4 inches in a firewall in front of your toes. And when you can dive in on that maintenance while the cowling's off, and even if you just learn how to do an oil change and then you use your private pilot's license to its full ability and start tackling the preventative maintenance side in part 43 of the regulations and doing stuff like that on a regular basis, you will have such a different relationship with your aircraft. Your pre-flights will become different. Everything that you approach on the flying side has a new light when you start doing some of your own maintenance. So I'm really excited for you to do that when you drop it off this year.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, that's coming up so soon, in the middle of when my instrument training is being really exciting. But, you know, in aviation, there's always something that comes up to prevent you from doing that next lesson and all that stuff. But I think just now you touched on a lot of really great topics, and we're really going to dive into that here in a little bit. But before we do, got to ask what you have working behind you. What, you got an engine there? I see some tools and parts. Tell us about that.
So right behind me is actually an M14. It's a Russian radial engine. It's a very unique engine. One of my favorite things that I've learned about it is the intricate detail of the air start system. So in Russia, it bleeds over across aviation. I know Tank Technology has used it and implemented it. But there's three different engines in particular that the shop I'm working at works on, and they all use the air start system. And it is so unique and so incredible to see the technology and how it varies across aviation and different, you know, countries implementing different things. And, you know, when you study aviation as a whole and you start looking at how many leaps and bounds took over during, you know, the tragedy during war times and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then you see how much technology spikes during those times and what comes out of it, and just, you know, something that you're not used to seeing every day and then having the opportunity to work on it. So this is a 9-cylinder Russian radial engine behind me. And I'm actually in Kingman, Arizona right now, working with my mentor, Joel Gerninsky at M14P Incorporated, and learning the overhaul process of this exact engine. So the AirStar is just one of the many systems. I'm also overhauling magnetos, landing gear actuators, compressors, I mean, you name it, and we take it apart. and totally rebuild it back to specs. So I'm here for 6 months doing that, and then we'll be headed up to Alaska. So, you know, I've said, even if I don't stick with Russian radio engine overhaul for the rest of my life, being able to apply what I've learned here and just being an organized mechanic, what to look for, how to really service something well, that can be applied across the board to being a good and reliable AMP. And so I'm really excited to take this information and use it, you know, for the rest of my career as an AMP.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it gives you such a big advantage. Clearly, I don't even have to lay out the facts here. When you were starting to learn how to fly, there's a vast amount of information that you know that personally, I don't know, and probably a lot of other pilots, you know, have been wanting to get into, but it's kind of like this, where do I start kind of boundary. And for me, it's a little bit easier because I do have a plane that I'm flying all the time, and to get to know it better, it's just, you know, it's something I need to do. But you know, people who are bouncing around in different aircrafts all the time, it's a different story. But what are some of the things that aircraft owners should be paying more attention to or should really know? I guess I'm just asking, what do I need to be doing, Chelsea?
No, that's a great question. And it's a place that I've personally seen in aviation lacking a lot of additional information. There aren't a lot of resources for owner operators who are already, you know, spending so much time just learning how to fly, learning weather, learning communications, learning navigation, everything that goes into a private pilot and beyond. And then you tackle airplane ownership, which there is no real instructor for airplane ownership side.
Yeah, there's not a how to own an aircraft for dummies book out there.
Yeah. So then you're tackling, okay, overhauls and ADs and, you know, compliancy and airworthiness. You're taking on that. And then now we're going to throw in, okay, we're going to start learning some of the maintenance side too. And so that's why, you know, I have tried to use my platform through Instagram to try to create some sort of content to give people maybe even just an itch to want to know more information about maintenance. Ultimately, potentially inspiring other people and other young ladies like, hey, this career opportunity is out there. But my advice to owners, and like I have already mentioned, is even just starting with an oil change. And I think we should find some time for me to come out there and teach you how
definitely
to do it. That sweet little warrior, and maybe do some flying. I know that when we were talking earlier, I said it had been about a year and a half since I'd flown with another female pilot. And I don't ever like to harp on or get extra attention for being a girl, but it is very, very special to me when I do get to interact with another female pilot or mechanic. So just another reason I was excited to talk to you. But yeah, just starting out with an oil change, and then, you know, even something as simple as cleaning your aircraft, when you go through every square inch of it and you're starting to notice like, hey, you know, that's a little off and you might not have ever noticed before, and allowing the dirt and the oil and the stains to tell a story. And then, you know, you might notice some corrosion in your battery box and come up with your bacon soda water mix and tackle that and repaint your battery box. And, you know, there's all these little things that pop up along the way during aircraft ownership, and just maybe not tackling the whole maintenance project yourself, but just able to notice when something is off that you might not have known before. And then that, you know, spirals my mind into thinking about, you know, even as an AMP and a pilot, with the amount of hours that I've had on both sides, I have over 3,000 hours as a mechanic now. It took me 2,000 hours to test for my AMP license through a Part 147 program. And I've grown from there. I'm getting ready to take my IA, which I'm very excited for.
Very exciting.
And then I'm sitting on about 650 hours, which airplane ownership has allowed me to build. But even with that experience, which I know isn't a ton, I'm just still starting out. I could walk up to a plane that I'm not super familiar with, and it could have something that could potentially become very dangerous, and I could overlook it. So it's just getting to know your ship, getting to know, you know, different types of planes, and growing as a pilot and a mechanic, and you can't do it overnight. It's just a lot of experience and a lot of hard work, as you know.
Yeah, definitely. And so on that point of, you know, in this amazing industry, we get opportunities to do ride-alongs, or like when you come down and want to fly with me, you're not going to just hop in our plane. Absolutely. Even though, you know, you're going to grow, you're like, trust me. And like this friendship is formed, you're still going to want to overlook our plane. So like, what's some advice that you give just any pilot who is going to be approached with these situations? Like, what are some of the things that you should be doing just to verify your own safety?
So it was the night before my private pilot, or my first lesson for my private pilot. And my uncle and I were standing in the shop, and he's the one who ultimately got me involved with aviation. And he started an aircraft build when I was younger. So he started building a Fokker DR1 triplane, full-scale replica from blueprints. It's totally from scratch. Everything is being hand-built. So it's a very extensive project. It's still not finished. But it's been a labor of love and a journey for him. So there's no rush. But we were standing with that plane behind us, and he got very emotional with me. And all of a sudden the mood shifted really quickly to a very serious tone. And he said, you know, my advice to you and would be to all young aviators, young as in hours, not age, but all new pilots and young aviators, you're going to be enthusiastic and you're going to start getting involved, and then you're going to have opportunities to go up in different planes with different pilots, and you are ultimately trusting them with your life, and you might not know this aircraft. You might not see a situation. And so I held on to that piece very dearly because he was so serious about it. And then the day came when I found myself in a plane that I was so excited to fly. I had never flown with that pilot. I had never flown that type of aircraft. I was sketched out about this plane before I even got in it. I hate to admit, but I was a new aviator. I had just got my AMP ticket and my private pilot's license. We were going to go do some formation with a bunch of other aircraft. And I found myself taxiing down the runway thinking, I do not trust this plane or this situation. This is the moment that my uncle was talking about, and I'm in it. I'm living it out right now. And I was really kicking myself. And then I was looking at everything on the panel was written in Czechoslovakian. I know this guy does not speak Czechoslovakian, the checklist, everything. And I mean, you can tell attack's attack and airspeed's airspeed. And, you know, I had this pit in my stomach. Like, I don't trust this situation. As excited as I was for it, it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we started, the other three planes took off, and we're finishing our run up, and he goes to 17 or whatever that 18, whatever the engine was rated for its run up on the tack, getting ready to drop the mags. And there was an explosion, and I'm telling him like, cut the power. And we got the engine shut down, and this plane, the tires on it were so bad that it blew the nose wheel in half.
Oh gosh.
Which I could not imagine if that would have happened during takeoff or during landing. Like, it could have ended up being catastrophic. And I just remember when we shut the plane off and we were towing it back the whole time, I was just reflecting on what my uncle had told me, kicking myself for finding myself in that exact situation that he warned me about, for climbing in a plane that I truly didn't trust. And then it was really a wake-up call. And I think that too many times pilots can find themselves in their wake-up call situation. And, you know, hopefully we get out of it and back on the ground and learn from it and implement that and help other people with it. But, yeah, just trusting pilots and other planes and walking up to any situation knowing you can say no. You can stay on the ground.
Exactly. You can always say no. That's definitely for sure. In those situations moving forward, you learned a lot from that lesson. Thankfully, you guys were on the ground when you had that kind of learning experience. But what are some of the main things that you would look for if you walked up and were going to fly the Warrior behind me or the decathlon in the hangar next door?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the first things that I look at before the plane is the pilot themselves or the owner. Do I feel like you're a sloppy owner? Do I feel like you really take your maintenance seriously? Are you just cowboying around out here? And oh, that doesn't matter. That's what I'm looking at first before I even turn my attention to the plane. And then, when I'm doing my pre-flight, I do my pre-flight totally different as a mechanic versus only a pilot. But I would do a thorough walk around, even if it's your plane and you know it like the back of your hands. If I'm going flying with you and I'm going up in a plane, even if I don't know anything about it, I'm gonna run around the plane and do my own pre-flight as well, and kind of use it as an opportunity to get to know it through you, ask you questions. And then, I mean, it's always about having a safety standpoint and feeling out the situation. So I would just be looking for the structural integrity, looking for leaks, looking for, smoking rivets, or how are the control surfaces, and does it look like there's a bunch of hangar rash? And then looking at the engine, and does your baffling look like it's, I mean, which you can see standing in front of your plane. Does the baffling look good? Are you keeping up with all of your oil? Is it a clean engine bay? And then inside, and I'm watching for the use of checklists. And so I'm looking at you, the pilot. I want to shadow your pre-flight and kind of do one of my own, learn more about the plane. And then as soon as we get in the plane, is the interior, does it seem like it's just slapped together so that we can get off the ground? Or I don't know. It's just kind of an overall feeling, and I think it's trusting your gut on that and not just going up with anyone or anything.
Yeah, definitely. If you open up the cowling and you see just all this stuff hanging out, probably a no-go situation. But I think it's a good point as well to, you're kind of pre-flying the pilot. Like, what is their approach to, aircraft ownership in general? How are they, taking the pre-flight experience and walk around? Like, is it serious? Is it kind of a joke? Like you said, we can get complicit really easily, and it's that constant urge that you have to fight it and stick those checklists, so you can, continue on and fly another day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you had any experiences when you found yourself, getting into a plane or going up with a pilot and you're like,
So I haven't, because my father's owned this aircraft since I started training. I've only flown an aircraft that my dad owned, just because he says it's okay, and I passes my initial kind of private pilot knowledge. There's got to be so many things that I'm not thinking about when I'm looking at something. I'm not looking at it the proper way.
Think
This
that's
conversation's really for me just to learn more, I guess.
and I think it's honestly, it's just experience. I don't care if you have your AMP ticket or you have your private pilot ticket or whatever you have, gaining that real world experience, being put in situations where you have to say no or whatever. I mean, your private pilot ticket is just merely the foundation to grow off of, as well as it's a ticket to learn, like they say, for private and the AMP side. So experience does a lot, but I think that's so special that you have that relationship with your dad and you guys
Oh,
get to
yeah.
fly together and share airplanes. That is such a beautiful opportunity in life.
Yeah, it's something I really enjoyed. So kind of touching on that though, your dad is very mechanically inclined. It seems like, your uncle's building a plane. He's obviously got some experience there. So this seems like a natural fit going for the kind of maintenance side of things. But how did you land on this?
So, believe it or not, growing up my whole life, I did not aspire to say I was the girly little girl. I was not saying I was going to grow up and be an airplane mechanic. But what I was very blessed with was having my dad and my uncle in my life and having them set such an example of being able to tackle maintenance of any sort, not being intimidated by starting a project of that kind. And my dad has always worked on stuff around the house, tractors and bulldozers. He built our house that we live in. So just being exposed to it, also having a dad and an uncle, and everyone really in my family being very supportive of yeah, it's not, you can be as feminine and as girly as you want, and you can also go hunt and fish and join the boys at deer camp in the fall. And, you know, we didn't really have like girl and guy roles in our family. Mm-hmm. You know, if I showed interest in something, my dad was like, yeah, grab some tools, help me over here. And, you know, that would be my challenge to all fathers out there. You know, teach your little girl as soon as she gets her car how to change her oil in it. And so because of all of those experiences in life, when I was signing up for college, and I knew I wanted to be in aviation at that point, I just had no idea how to pursue a professional career in aviation. And I was just signing up for my basic classes. And when the counselor asked me to declare my major, and I had no idea, I just knew I needed a degree to fly professionally and I was going to figure it out. When she handed me the sheet of majors and I read down the list, and A at the top, aviation maintenance. And I told her I wanted to declare my major, aviation maintenance technology, applied engineering. And she looked at me and asked me three times to confirm, which I had no idea. I was like, why is she so confused? That did not make sense until I walked into class on the first day, a few weeks later, I don't know, a month later. And it was all men, and it was engines torn apart. And I had no real idea what I was getting myself into. And then I heard that lady again in my head saying, are you going to do this? But I was excited about aviation. I wanted to be involved, and it was the best plan I had so far. And so I ended up falling in love with it. I did an internship in between airframe and power plant. And that was my real confirmation that, yes, you can do this. Yes, this is an exciting community of people. It's a different arena, a different realm. But I fell in love with it the same way I did with flying. I loved the challenge of taking something totally apart and putting it back together and seeing it work again. That just lit me up. And then also, you know, it was intimidating starting out. Like I've said before, I didn't even know the names of my tools. And going from that to graduating top of my class was, for me, it was one of the most gratifying experiences. And there was a fire lit in me for aviation at that point after doing the internships and completing that 2.5 year program, that I was ready to take maintenance further as well as flying. But that's why I tell people all the time, I'm like, you don't have to know anything about aviation maintenance to get involved with it. We all start somewhere, trust me.
Yeah.
And I talked to the program coordinator at my college where I graduated with my A&P ticket. Well, you graduate and then you're able to take the A&P test. You still test through the FAA. But whenever I was talking to him, he said, you know, honestly, I know that you came into this classroom and most of the guys had previous experience to some degree. They were car mechanics or had gotten out of the military and they were here mm-hmm. to complete their A&P or whatever the situation may be. They all seem to have already been involved with.
They knew the names of their tools.
They knew the names of their tools and almost every component of the engine. And I was just like, we would get a project and it would have a list of what tools we needed. And I would just be like looking around, okay, I have that one. I'm going to have one, you know,
it's like an IKEA manual. They have like the picture of it and like the little figure showing you what to do.
But I was talking to the program coordinator and he said, you know, you started out as a clean slate. You have mm-hmm. bad habits. You are not a sloppy mechanic yet. We got to teach you from the ground up and help you get very organized. And I started seeing that later on as I went into the field or later on in the classes when we started to get to the engine teardown theory part identification stuff. I mean, some of those guys were totally sloppy mechanics. And I got to learn from people that I admire and I loved working with, and I picked up, and I also got to work with people that I didn't really care for their maintenance skill, but it showed me how not to be.
Yeah.
And so organization is key, knowing where to find your tech data and relying on it. And then just thinking proactively always about the next step, and troubleshooting just comes from gaining experience, but everything else is, you know, you can find it in a book and taking it from there.
Yeah. It's just, you have to dedicate that time. And like you said, it's a lot of just, you know, every new situation, it's just an opportunity to learn something. And then hopefully it sticks with you for the next time it comes around, and it just comes that much easier. So before we go, I know, you said you've been trying to post a lot on social media, bring to light some of the things that you think can really help pilots. And a few weeks ago, you had a post that was talking about how we're all test pilots, kind of specifically, you know, that post-maintenance first flight. Just go into that for us a little bit.
Yeah, so I wanted to shine some light on when we throw the cowling back on and that plane heads out for its first flight after anything has been done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's an entire engine swap or overhaul or an oil change. Having the test pilot mentality. So don't throw, I would never sign a plane off with my license or watch anyone else set a plane off that I wouldn't put my family in the back of. That doesn't mean that I should put my family in the back of it the second it comes out of the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So just getting in the plane, making sure it's a day VFR local flight. We should always be briefing an abort point and have a bailout plan in the back of our mind, but let's keep that extra heightened post-maintenance. And then just going over everything. If the cowling was off, run your hand over the cowling. Grab every component of it that you can reach and make sure that it feels secure. Make sure nuts were tight. I can't tell you how many times. That's why I don't care if it's your first day on the job as a mechanic and it's someone's 40th year in the shop. If they get done with work, it doesn't matter who's in the shop. And if it's my first day or not, like, I will check their work as they will check mine.
Mm-hmm.
But just stuff can get missed. Pilots are, you know, exposed to hearing about fatigue that can play a huge part, or distractions. Mechanics can be subject to the exact same influence and external influences that can play a negative role in the quality of our work. So we always put in a lot of effort to check each other and check each other's work. And the pilot should be doing the same thing. So when that plane comes out and you're putting yourself in it and you're laying your life out to climb into this plane, spend a little extra time during your pre-flight and go over everything. Grab stuff, make sure that it feels secure. Look for anything that could still be leaking, anything that wasn't safety wired.
Mm-hmm.
This is stuff that you don't have to go through an A&P program to pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
But you should, if you have the opportunity around an A&P with the cowling off, say, let's go through some of the stuff. Like, what do you look for? What's most important in your mind and what sticks out to you? And, you know, aviation, the incredible engineering that's gone on, we have a lot of redundant systems for if something fails or, you know, whatever could go wrong. So it's good to have that, but it's also good to not only rely on that. And so I check for security of items. I check to make sure that stuff isn't left off, which can happen. And make sure that I have a logbook entry, make sure that I've discussed and briefed with the mechanic. And then when I'm climbing in, you're absolutely a test pilot. So I'm going to do an extra thorough run up. And if there's anything that I'm hesitant on, I'm not going to just send it and say, oh, we'll figure it out when we get off the ground.
Good luck. Yeah.
See back, talk to the mechanic, get their opinion, see if they want to go up. That's one of the things that I see in aviation, you know, that really, I wish that pilots had more of an opportunity in the shop, and I wish mechanics had more of an opportunity to get up in the sky. So that's a brand that I'm constantly pushing for and trying to help. So see if they want to go up with you. They're going to give you insight about the way your engine runs more than any CFI that's going up with you will.
Yeah, better than just sitting there and guessing, that's for sure. And I know you are a pilot and mechanic, but, you know, come on down, fly with me in my plane. I got a whole list of questions for you after just this little interview, and we can help bridge that gap a little bit between pilots, aircraft owners, and mechanics themselves.
Well, I look forward to the day that we can hang out in the hangar together.
Yeah, well, I'm so excited for you to eventually come down here to Houston. We'll have so much to do. And Chelsea, thank you just so much for staying on talking with us. I hope everyone watching this has learned a thing or two, or it's at least inspired them to, you know, get their hands dirty, learn a little bit more about that plane that's, you know, kind of keeping us alive while we're doing one of our favorite things in the world. It's definitely something very, very important. So thank you again for coming on our show.
Absolutely. Thank you again so much for having me. I look forward to visiting you and hopefully seeing you at maybe Sun and Fun and Oshkosh again this year.
Oh yeah, I will be there. Definitely all of those. Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this episode Between Two Wings. We'll see you next time.